I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hello, y'all. Good afternoon and welcome. This is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by Happy State Bank, alongside Matt Esteson. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. Keep hitting us up, or just start hitting us up. Yates Flooring Center chat line, yours through the 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, even listen in up in Burnt Corn, Alabama.
Real place?
Probably. It's a good chance of it. How are we doing, Matt?
I'm good.
What did we talk about the first segment yesterday? Something
a
really
lot
important.
About the Cowboys.
I thought that was the second segment.
I believe the first segment we talked about vacation and Under Armour sales.
Yeah, and, that's what covered most of it.
Something along the lines of, oh, I don't know.
Come on, Dorothy. There we go.
Oh, we talked about the Masters winning winning the
yes, see?
Winning a free round of golf
good
at
job,
Augusta.
Clint. Clint's got a good memory on that one.
And I took digs at you.
Like an elephant over there.
Wow.
Did you take a shot at him?
I don't feel like I did.
I don't remember said shot.
No, I don't think you did yesterday. Okay.
I've always been supportive of you.
Well, that's not true. You have taken shots before.
Yeah, he's
only at slam ball, which is not a real sport.
Wait, I thought that
is a real sport.
No.
Okay, whatever happened. That was coming back around.
Yeah, they played a full season. They'll play another season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's this on? Because it was Spike Forever or
well, it's on you have to mostly ESPN Plus.
Okay. I didn't
there,
get into
I,
it. This
I think there was some on
nobody
ESPN
gets into
two.
It, Choice. You don't have to worry.
Oh, I loved slam ball as a 12-year-old kid.
Okay. Welcome to Matt's personal hell. Two people that
no,
like slam
that's,
ball.
That's like
as a 12-year-old kid, I loved slam ball. I saw the announcement that it was coming back, and then I never watched anything.
That's right. It's like the American Gladiators. It was awesome when you were young. It came back. It wasn't good.
You know what else was awesome and still is awesome? The other thing on Spike, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Who broke the...
Most Extreme.
Would you stop?
I think I know which one that one is.
MXC.
Okay.
I don't.
It's the voiced over.
Yes.
Asian game show.
You couldn't bring that one back.
No, not at all.
You couldn't remake it.
No, I'm actually surprised that it's even out there where you can watch it. I think it's on Prime.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I think it's on Prime.
Hello, New World.
So yeah. I do.
Old World, perhaps. I guess because I'm going back.
It'd be Old World, but I mean. The Balls of Fury game is...
That's just like mindless TV, though. You can put it on and not really...
Oh, but it's phenomenal.
It's hilarious.
It's perfect TV for Friday night at 11 o'clock.
I mean... I don't know if that would crack my Friday night 11 o'clock TV shows, but...
What else are you doing? I'm talking about like winding down.
What's your 11 o'clock Friday night?
On Friday TV and Saturdays? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Okay, I'm in.
On the Food
okay,
Network?
Okay, that's fine. I'm not trying to get something.
It's amazing. It's the best go to bed show ever. I mean,
go to bed show.
Yeah, that's my winding down. I watch it.
Do you watch? Do you have TV on when you go to sleep?
Yes,
we do too. And
with
a
timer.
Not this way. Okay, we don't do that.
Yeah, I don't put a timer on because then you can doze off. The TV shuts off. It's great.
Because if it's like my wife has to have the constant noise, so if it shuts off in the middle of the night, and some of the streaming services do on their own. Then she's got to find the remote and turn something else on. Yeah, she's a freak in multiple ways. But the...
What does that mean?
I don't know. I probably should have left that one up.
Okay.
But the... I don't...
Like, do y'all sleep with fans on and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Fans, TVs, everything?
No, just the top.
Like, you don't have one beside the bed?
No.
Like, she doesn't have one?
No.
Yeah. That's... My wife has to have one, like... A hurricane blowing right beside her on top of the fan that's going off.
See,
but no TV. No TV. And I'm like, why can't I have TV on? Well, because it's loud. can't hear it. If somebody broke in,
there's a little difference in the white noise.
We do have a white noise machine that I've gotten used to, but I prefer it because my wife used to be that way, where had to have the TV on, but then I wouldn't go to sleep because if I'm hearing it, I want to watch it and I want to pay attention to it. So the steady noise is great, but if like I hear talking, and then also you have like the light of the TV, my brain will not let me go to sleep.
No, there's such thing as mindless TV. Now, your show to me would be mindless TV. Like, I don't have to watch it and I can doze off. Now, if you put a good show on, it's hard to fall asleep, like when you're trying to, you know.
Yeah, straw poll in the chat line. Do you sleep with the TV on or off? I was not a TV on person sleeping, like, growing up or anything, but she's always been that way. And as we know in marriage, the wife wins, so...
And they're watching
TV
MXC.
On.
We know that to go to sleep.
No,
MXC
actually, going
night.
To sleep TV is almost always Friends because I've seen them so often.
It's mindless
that,
TV.
That it, like, I don't have to focus on it. It's like, it's.
Oh, ours used to be The Office and Parks and Rec.
Yeah. The Office I can do, but I still want to stay up and watch it sometimes, so I have to. And Parks and Rec, same thing. Yeah, all three of those shows I can handle. But y'all can tell us. That little random tidbit, if you want, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Deadliest Warrior. What a good show that was on Spike.
Deadliest Warrior.
Oh,
that
I did
one?
Like,
yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, Deadliest Warrior going what? Through, like, when they would go through the gelatin human and use each weapon to see the actual damage of it, and we're doing, like, stats. It's like sports science, but they're using...
Without the science.
Yes, all right. Using, like, the Hun army.
Yeah, I think it's time to bring back Spike TV. I think we can do this, guys.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Whatever ways to die.
Yeah, we can do this. Pros versus Joes. Can't forget that. That was Spike,
that's,
right?
That's, yes.
Fear
that,
Factor.
That was
Fear Factor. Yeah, that's already come back.
Pros
a
versus
of times,
Joes was peak Spike television. That was their crown jewel to me.
Do you remember what Spike was before it was Spike? Anybody?
Oh.
And it was still called this for the first. Infancy stages of all these guy shows. Court TV.
No, I would.
No one remembers that.
Wasn't UFC on Spike as well to start?
It probably was. I'm
almost positive it was.
I bet you're right. But yeah, I think we need to relaunch Spike, modernized everything, except MXC. Just rerun everything.
Just rerun
it. Yeah, that show you're not going to touch, and you can't get away with most of the stuff they say on there anyway. So just hit the reruns on that. But Deadliest Warrior used to be my go-to show on Spike. Yeah, my TV watching before I go to sleep is How It's Made. That's from Mark. Okay, that's a good one. That guy's got a good soft voice.
Yeah.
And watching most of the time factories of, you know, a belt running through tons of whatever it is, that could be soothing.
Any of the shows, like if it's not on the Food Network for me, like there's the shows like... what is it called? Like the Great Alaskan or Alaskan Outdoors? Those kind of shows I can watch and fall asleep as well. I think it's just watching how some of those people live life out there is.
Yeah. Yeah. I get on with that. Y'all can tell us. It's going to put me to sleep. What your TV watching is late at night, or if you do or don't. We'll talk some sports. We'll get into Red Raider baseball. How vital is a win tonight? Got to start counting wins for postseason hopes. Get into that. Some portal updates. Everybody's favorite, Logan Paul. Maybe.
Said nobody.
Oh, okay. I was waiting on someone to say that. It's the bottom line. Got headlines for you next. Right here on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Joyce Woodman, Matt Esteson, the First United Bank Studio. Let's get back behind the glass. Keep the thoughts, the comments, the questions all coming in the on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I'm 66, never had a TV in the bedroom. Please don't ask if they sleep with anything on. Yeah, bad wording there. My bad. Wife puts on Gilmore Girls to fall asleep too. Okay.
Ugh, that is a show that has been played through cycles in my house.
Too much.
Far too much.
Okay.
I get it. It's a comfort show for one of us in the relationship between my wife and I. For the other one being me, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Wow.
And it's like, I didn't at first, but now, like, it'll be 6 months of time has passed, and all of a sudden from the other room, I'll hear the, like, if you're out on the... And then I just scream, and I just yell.
Oh.
No.
Clint equals paintball target. Agreed.
Bring it.
Wife is a freak, my fellow American names, their song name. Yeah. Can't sleep with the TV on, but would rather not... Can, so I don't wake up looking like this. It's a picture of homeboy from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Forensic files every night. That's some deep, like the stuff that can get ingrained on your brain while you're sleeping. I'm not sure I want that.
Yeah,
that stuff. Yeah. It's all right. I thought the Browns were the Ravens. They were, but then the Browns launched a new franchise, and they got to take the history of the Ravens franchise, which was the Browns before they moved. So that makes so much sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Browns were one of the expansion teams. They expanded, but the Ravens relinquished all of the Browns' history to the Browns.
It's kind of what happened in the NBA with the Hornets, who went to the Pelicans,
yeah,
and then they were the Bobcats,
and then they changed
to the Pelicans, they changed back to the Hornets and got the Hornets history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So with that team name, they gave it all up. It's weird situation, all of that. Where in Costa Rica? That was in Tortuguero, Costa Rica.
Never been.
Never. This was remote. Like we had to take a boat ride about 45 minutes deep. Like cannot get there by car. It's boat ride 45 minutes through croc infested waters, which is awesome. But
take your word for
it. It was a good boat.
I'm good.
Croc infested is not my favorite way to describe something.
Okay. I mean that we.
I believe it was.
We only
boat.
Saw a few crocs, and these aren't the huge ones. Like the other side of Costa Rica is the one that's got the saltwater crocs. That's where I probably wouldn't be.
Oh, these were like what, like caiman size?
There were caiman and crocs, these were just like river crocs, like not the
crocs and Adidas slides.
Yeah,
infested
exactly.
waters.
Yeah. All right, you had a question for us, or me, or someone.
Yeah, and we kind of discussed it. So. You said you're not a big NBA guy, which I feel most people are, right? In this neck of the woods, there's not. That's probably why.
Sorry. That's what a hook shot looks like, Chuck.
Yeah,
Chuck thinks it's like just kind of.
Are you supposed to miss it by like 3 feet?
He actually almost made it. It was off the rim.
Yeah, it did go off.
So NBA viewership is up on ESPN and ABC, 16% from last year.
Okay.
Okay. Their actual NBA countdown is up roughly 3% from last year. So
I'm assuming these are regular season numbers?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, regular season.
Okay.
So viewership is actually up, right?
Year over year.
I'm here to tell you that I think the NBA will get more popular based on the next 3 to 5 years because of players that we talked about are leaving the NBA. LeBron is going to be gone. Right, Steph Curry is gone, which is he's a likable guy, but I think you're going to start seeing a new face of the NBA. Kevin Durant appears to be kind of on his last leg.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs prove that as he got swept with a quote unquote super team. So my question is, do you see the NBA gaining more popularity with areas such as where we're at, where there is zero interest in the NBA. People just don't care for it. But I think as some of these players that have been in the NBA for the last 15 years, they're kind of on their last leg. I feel like you're starting to see a new wave of NBA players with Luka. Giannis is kind of in the middle, but Luka's leading that charge. Anthony Edwards seems to be one of the best players in the NBA now. Pretty quiet, young kid from Minnesota.
Yeah,
you can go with the entire Oklahoma City starting five. Yeah.
All of those guys are under 23 years old.
Yeah.
Victor, I think, will become more of a prominent player, a big face of the NBA as he you know establishes some age and some years under his belt.
Sure.
So, do you think that do you people like you, and I use that because you don't care for the NBA too much.
Me, people.
Do you see it getting more popular? Because of the exit of some of these players.
I think one thing that is very apparent, and this correlated with the dip in the numbers for the NBA, most people, not everybody, I won't speak for everybody, but most people don't want politics and sports mixed.
100% agree.
Most people go to sports to get away from things like politics.
Yep.
You go, it is your retreat, your reprieve, and that's the idea there. So as much as it was dumb for whatever lady to say to shut up and dribble, in reality, that's what we want. We want guys, like Michael Jordan said on the Last Dance thing, hey, Republicans buy sneakers too. You never saw Michael Jordan do that. You never saw Michael Jordan become an activist. And you know what? I'm not saying that it's wrong for anybody to stand up for what they believe in. But when it takes the place and takes more attention up than your game, or you become a liar like LeBron James, and I say that semi-loosely, but the guy, every time he's got a book in his hand and he acts like he's read something.
He's a scholar.
What's your favorite part of the book? Oh, just the whole thing. The whole thing.
I loved the chapters and the words. There was an intro. There was an outro.
This man, he was something. Anyway, as that wave goes away, yeah, I think there is a chance. I'm not saying it's for sure, because if you get a bunch of guys in, these young guys that want to just talk a bunch, then not sure.
I don't think that's going to be the case,
though. It doesn't seem to be, but you think, and you and I talked about this a little during the break, LeBron James early on wasn't that dislikable. What was dislikable about him to a lot of people was the threat of him being as good as Jordan. That was what was dislikable early in his career. He, for the most part, was pretty quiet. Pretty reserved. Now, I mean, he had his commercials.
He's never had any off-court trouble. I will say that.
Correct. And that's
love him or like him or hate him or dislike him, but he seems pretty classy in that aspect, but it's the politics that came in.
But he's always had hate his way. He has warranted the majority of the hate in the last decade or so. He has brought it upon himself.
The last 5 years, I would say. I don't if you disliked LeBron purely because of you're more of a Jordan than LeBron guy, that's not a reason to hate somebody.
It started with the decision.
Well,
whether you liked it or not, it was a very look at me moment.
I think the decision was the first true villain move from LeBron. And it was also the first, he wasn't the first super team made, but it was the first time of I'm leaving because even though I have all of this reputation built up that I've also welcomed as far as what my expectation in the league is going to be and who I'm going to be as a player, I can't get it done in Cleveland.
Kevin Durant was extremely likable early in his career, minus the Texas stink. But he got out of there as quick as possible. He was a nice guy. Something turned with him hanging out with Russell Westbrook or something.
And James Harden.
Well, he was an extremely likable guy. I forgot about Serge. Yeah,
he was with Kendrick Perkins too at a certain point. So
I don't know.
That's a guy I can't
stand. Bad influence.
So I think,
man,
not a fan.
I think so many things in the world and in sports are cyclical. I think you could see a cycle of these young guys being likable again, and then when they get longer in the tooth later in their career, they start to talk a lot.
I think when you have guys like, I feel like Giannis has been in the league long enough, he's pretty quiet.
Sure.
Luka seems very quiet. Jason Tatum seems extremely quiet and
Jokic
private.
Jokic is maybe the best player in the NBA right now, and he doesn't want anything to do with
basketball.
Being in the spotlight.
So I do think you have a group of guys leading the NBA that's definitely either they've learned or that's just not their personality, where they're like, nope, I'm good. I just want to play ball and kind of keep my mouth shut. And
y'all can tell us what you think. Answer that. Get to more of your thoughts on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Secret word next on 100.7 The Score.
Yeah.
bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Matt Esteson here in the First United Bank studio. Keep hitting us up. Thanks for the commentary on the chat line. We'll return to some of that in a moment. Right meow. It is time for a word of the day. Thanks to our friends at the Home Zone for teaming up. We are giving away cold hard cash couple times a week, as well as $2,500 at the end of this contest in June. All you got to do is type in the word we give you at 107thescore.com. You can be like Chris Mungia, who won $250 today. $250. That's not a bad little bonus on a Tuesday.
Well, that's a good bonus.
Today's word for you is Tar Heels. Tar Heels. Tar Heels, T-A-R-H-E-E-L-S. Go type that in at 107thescore.com. Tough Skins over Husky. Off-timers on TV are the only way to go. Sooner in Lubbock says, really enjoyed watching the Lakers get swept. I did.
The Lakers did.
They didn't get swept. It was 4-1.
Correct. I did enjoy seeing them get beat up a little bit, but I feel for my guy Darvin Ham. The other part, I mean, friend of the show, Darvin Ham, too. I've had him on a couple of times. But that being said, he knew what he's getting into if you take the Lakers job, right? I mean, you know.
I would never want to coach LeBron.
If you're taking the Lakers job and you're coaching LeBron James, it's the double whammy. You know there's so much more pressure with both of those things, much less combined.
You're not really the coach, though, of coaching LeBron. You're the fall guy.
Yeah.
And that's why the same thing that's going to happen with, pretty sure, what, Frank Vogel in Phoenix? He's the fall guy for Kevin Durant. Kevin, but they're not going to trade Kevin. Now, Kevin already said, I didn't feel comfortable in the offense, all that hoopla, and Frank Vogel will get fired.
LeBron's not going to end up in L.A. next year. Doesn't appear that way. So – do they fire? Why? Did you not hear him in the postgame yesterday? He's talking about, because I think he's going to end up taking another deal somewhere else.
I don't see him leaving L.A. at all.
I'm still not certain that someone doesn't take his son,
which is
in the draft just to get LeBron.
I think LeBron
will. What I saw today was that the Lakers have already said, hey, we're open to drafting your son because we want to give you the opportunity to play with your son like you've won. I was like, no, you're doing this because you want to keep LeBron in Los Angeles playing and for advertising purposes.
I think if I was putting money on it, and maybe this is after last night, he's just mad that they lost, but his comments were that he likely wouldn't be back next year.
I don't think LeBron will go to another team unless it's the Clippers. I don't see him leaving L.A.
Okay.
I think he's got enough pull for any team to take his son, drafted or G League offer immediately after the draft's over, to put him in their organization.
Oh, I don't think he's willing to do that, though.
Who?
LeBron. I don't think it's G League related. It's got to be, hey, I'm going to play in the NBA with my son. I think that's what it is. He would have to get someone to promise him that.
Because
he may go play for the Hornets for that if they'll promise that.
I think there's only so many teams. Well, LeBron doesn't need money. Let's
no,
it's everybody knows that. But he's also not going to go play somewhere for a veteran minimum.
No, he's not.
So there's not every team can't offer him. So if a team that's already high in the cap is going to go draft his son, it's not like LeBron just can say, "Well, I'm going there no matter what."
Someone said this, heard LeBron's not sure he'll return to the Lakers next season. Choice, would you want him on the Spurs or be okay if he goes to the Spurs? It's not going to make a huge difference to me. There used to be a time where I really wanted him and Pop to get together. LeBron is still the best 38-year-old basketball player on the planet, an amazing that he can put up the numbers that he can at that age.
That'd be a good tandem, though. I will say that.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I've rooted for more detestable people for sure. Not people, but people. I've rooted for my team with more detestable people. We'll say that. Greg Hardy's been a Dallas Cowboy. And
one of the worst human beings you could possibly
be. Exactly. So there's worse, far worse human beings out there. It wouldn't be fun to root for LeBron, but if it got you into championship territory, which I don't think it would, then it would be fun. Did the Thunder get the Seattle Supersonics history? Yes, they did. There's still, you stay that organization unless someone relinquishes it. Just like the Rangers, Texas Rangers are still have 10 years or 12 years or whatever it is of being the Washington Senators. That's still around. So you keep that unless said team relinquishes it to, and I think it only happens if that other team takes the namesake.
If the franchise ever went to Seattle, there's no way they're not going right back to Supersonics. Right?
I would be shocked if they, because that was a great one. Different color scheme.
Unique.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they would be that. And then the Thunder would just be the Thunder from going from there. And then
we'd forget about the likes of Kevin Durant and Nick Collison in Supersonic jerseys. I did have to. Yeah, you're laughing. I did have to put Nick Collison in there.
Yeah,
this
Supersonic great.
Oh, yeah, of course you did. Stop it. I don't see LeBron back in L.A. The new Clippers arena is sick. That might be what draws him across town. I think LeBron will stay in L.A. There's that one. See.
I just don't see him going to any team.
T-Money 806 says maybe if the NBA actually brought back rules of play. Allowed a little contact, no more four-step, no dribble plays, carries some resemblance of D, that might help. The game used to be more watchable. I am the old guy that also is in that territory. The non-travel thing I hated when I was a kid in the NBA, and it's only gotten worse.
What do you – clarify that for me.
The gather thing. I mean, I know what a travel is. I can see it with my own eyes. James Harden travels half the time he touches the ball. But you get away with it because you're in the NBA and you got a second set of rules that's very offensive.
Is that the same as a holding on every play? You know it's happening
no,
in football.
No, I know what my eyes are telling me. Just like holding. Holding, most of the time, but yes, it's happening every play. Traveling and happening every play. Holding happens every play to an extent. But I know what holding is when I see it.
And I think.
But if it doesn't get called, does it just drive you insane?
Yeah. Yeah, if something blatant is happening, like a blatant travel or a blatant hold, sure, that drives me insane. I want to see it.
Well, and the holding on every play thing, too, because, you know, we've been told before, hey, does this affect the play? The non-travel call directly affects the play every single time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean, if there's a hold that's way away from the ball and it has zero effect on the play, it is different. The travel thing, I mean, you've seen the compilation videos, I'm sure, of so many steps and so many things not getting called.
It is terrible. The pivot foot movement bothers me more than the James Harden travel.
Okay,
is when those guys are pivoting and that foot literally slides like a foot and a half, and I'm like, that's...
Or they just switch pivot feet out of nowhere, yeah. And it doesn't get called.
I don't know. I'm an NBA guy, but there's plenty of things about the NBA that disrupts me. Going back to the way the 80s is played, to me, that's the same people that are saying, well, the NFL is crap right now because we're not going back to being able just to headhunt everybody we go for. I mean, as athletes get bigger, faster, stronger, rules have to be in place for protection.
Yeah,
right?
I don't.
Football in the 80s and early 90s, when you could go head on to Troy Aikman or any of those quarterbacks and literally level them and take their head off, that was the NFL that we grew up with, but you can't do that now. And that's just part of the game. It's the same with the NBA. The whole notion that there's no defense in the NBA is completely inaccurate. It's just that guys are faster and stronger.
Oh, that's not inaccurate. It is 100% accurate in the regular season. There are. I mean, no one takes more plays off than players on defense in the NBA in the regular season. It's
so you mean to tell me if we pulled tape from 90s basketball, there's not plenty of players taking defensive possessions off throughout the whole season?
There's
the same thing.
No, there's not. It's not near. It's not near to the level it is now. Not near. Go look at it's. Yeah, guys have become better shooters. That's part of it. But man, there are some players that want to play defense, and there are others that don't care. And if you're a good offensive player, it doesn't matter. They're going to put you on the floor.
I agree with that.
But everybody makes an effort in the postseason. That's the difference. You see a massive switch turned on in the postseason. But
Joyce,
that was a lot of NBA talk.
Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
Have so much fun. I hope you shoot a 75.
Okay. Not going to happen, but appreciate it. Bottom line rolls on. Next.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Onward to our number dos. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank, alongside Jamie Lent, who's joined us in the First United Bank studio. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You may also hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, all welcome. Bring them in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Plenty of you have chimed in. You can reach us on that chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Take that just about anywhere with you. Even listen in out in Chunky, Mississippi.
Chunky,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds good for like a soup, but...
Peanut butter? Either.
Are you a chunky guy?
I like chunky peanut butter.
Would not have pegged you as such.
Pretty much anything that you can, you know, as far as your food goes and adding nuts to it, it's always better.
Oh, yeah. You are very much like a Hershey's with almonds guy. And
pretty much, yep.
Okay, that makes
banana
sense.
Banana bread.
Yeah.
Cake frosting.
So on the the sundae, are you really frosting, loading it up?
You know what? Don't do it on my ice cream.
Not the ice cream. Yep. We found a line.
Yep.
He's drawn it. Okay. How are you today, Jamie?
Great.
You look like you could use something special today. So I'm going to start you off.
That's why I've got you.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
We are paintball teammates, so.
Yes.
It's good. As we established this morning, Clint is not our teammate.
Apparently, I'm the enemy, so I can handle that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the enemy, just the target.
Yeah, just the target.
Oh, we've been referring to you guys as the enemy. Were we not supposed
we?
To do
you've
that?
You've already
yeah,
established.
If I'm gonna be on a team.
Okay.
We got to start getting our strategy right.
Okay.
Yeah, our
all
strategy.
All right, Chuck, you run out as bait. Everyone will shoot at you, and we know exactly where everyone's at.
Our strategy is hit Clint.
Yeah, hit Clint lots.
Lots.
It's probably difficult being a big guy in the paintball war trying to hide behind stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to have a limb sticking out somewhere you didn't realize was, hanging around the edge or something.
It sounds like I'm probably the only one who's ever paintballed in this group. Hex might have. I don't know. He's from Oklahoma. That's probably the national sport of Oklahoma. But
again, we airsoft warred growing up. So, I mean, same thing.
Ish. Yeah, I feel like paintball's more formal. Much more formal than the airsoft.
What do you mean by formal?
I'm just making...
Like airsoft players are savages?
Exactly. Jamie, I got some new slang for you. So
okay.
You don't... This is help for you, so you don't have your girls roll their eyes at you as much. It's still going to happen, but if you use these words instead of their words that have already gone out of style, then you're better off. And almost all these are acronyms, but
okay.
All right.
They all have bro at the end of them?
They do not.
Okay, bro at the beginning?
No bros, no brocephuses, okay. Brochachos, brosifs.
I sent my 16-year-old a text earlier today. And
older bro.
It really wasn't even a question. It was like a statement that I made.
Bro.
And her answer was, bro, what?
Oh, love it. So, YOLO, if you're still using that, got to get rid of it.
Who has ever used that?
Clint.
No, I'm anti that. But Drake did, so Drake made a whole song out of it.
DIFTP is what you're supposed to use. So it's mostly for texting on this one.
I mean, that's so long, I might as well just say whatever.
DIFTP, do it for the plot.
Oh.
Okay.
Can I just say DIFTP?
DIFTP. Instead of KK, which is what people like to say for okay, bet. You've probably seen this one. Bet has come back around. This was a thing when I was in high school or junior high.
Like, I bet you won't?
Like, bet. Well, that's how we used to say it. Like, bet. Like, bet you won't do it.
Yeah, okay.
But now they say bet as in okay.
Who is they?
They. The youths. The youths. Utah.
Wow.
Instead of LMFAO, way out now, it's IGBOL. I just burst out laughing. IJBOL.
I was going to say, why is G just?
IJBOL.
I gust burst out laughing.
I gust. And stop with the raffle. No rolling on the floor laughing anymore. ROFL. Instead, you're just supposed to send the skull emoji. Like, dead. Okay. I'm dead. That's so funny. I died laughing. That's what it is. So just skull emoji. That one's shortened up for you. You don't have to type as many letters. Don't shorten the word great by spelling it GR8. You're just supposed to say that slaps.
Did you ever GR8?
I never GR8'd. No. Just throw in a that slaps. You should be writing these down for your daughter.
That slaps.
Please, when you're texting her later today, either one. Throw in a that slaps. Okay? She says...
Bet.
She says, we're shooting around tonight? Or whatever.
That's when you say bet is to that one.
Oh, yeah. You say bet. She's like, what? You say, that slaps.
That slaps.
All right.
Then I wouldn't know what I said.
Don't say diss. You don't diss people anymore.
Okay.
Clap back. You clap back. Okay. You've rolled your eyes a lot during this segment. Stop calling things fire.
Okay, she uses fire.
Nope, she's out of style. Lit has come back now. Fire is lame. Lit is back in style. That's lit, yo.
I don't like that lit is coming back.
I like fire way better than lit.
Same.
Don't call things gross. It's just ick.
That using that is ick. I hate that one. I despise that.
These are terrible. I'm just trying to help all our grandparents out there listening. That way when grandkids text you. Never say, give me the 411. That is one of the oldest people things ever. No one under 40 knows what that is anyway. The number for directory assistance.
No one over 40 does either. So,
instead say, what's the tea? Or spill the tea.
That sounds older for some reason.
It does, right?
What's the tea?
Or spill the tea?
That sounds like an undercover cop at a high school trying to like ease into it and make him seem like he's also a high schooler. Like, what's the tea, fellow kids?
Also, in 2024, cray has gone out. No more cray cray.
Good.
Okay.
We are saying DeLulu, short for delusional.
DeLulu. Why would you add the extra Lou in there?
I'm wearing DeLulu today. I don't think that was the proper use, but I tried it.
Like, I'm going to DeLulu store.
Do you feel like your IQ dropped at least 5 points during that segment?
Yes, I do feel dumber.
Okay. Or your IQ.
For having been here.
I feel much dumber.
It happens pretty much every segment that
Easy
I'm sitting
now.
In this chair.
Easy. We're talking about this show, not the morning one.
Especially from 6 to 9.
It's the bottom line. I hope everybody feels a little dumber after that. Right here on 100.7 The Score.
getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jamie Lent, yours in the First United Bank studio. Keep hitting us up. This from the chat line. I hope Silly Jamie is still around after this morning. It's from Shelley. You were singing something this morning. I can't remember what it was. Viking, for just for your information, Choice is not a good shot. You'll be okay. That was from Justin.
I believe that.
That was with a scatter gun.
Wouldn't that give you more range? Like, doesn't that worsen your argument?
Yeah, it does.
There was the.
It was really cold, and I was trying long shots.
There was the throw from short to first base that ended up in another field.
That's
makes me question.
I think y'all have embellished. I don't know if that actually
that
happened.
That is a true
not.
Story.
I don't know if it really happened.
That throw was also described as a scatter shot. So.
Yes, bet.
Bet. No, that just means okay, Jamie. You're still.
I bet whoever was playing first was like, that absolutely does not slap.
It was level, and he didn't even try to jump.
Skull emoji.
It was so far above his head.
Like, why would you try to jump then?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it was a little off target, just a smidge.
Did you yell Ellie De La Cruz when you threw it?
That's funny. Ah, skull emoji. Did I do that right?
Not if you're saying skull.
Oh,
emoji.
We're not allowed to say it? I thought. I don't understand the rules.
I think you should start doing that. Like, crying, laughing emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should do that.
Noodling is the national sport of Oklahoma. My bad.
That
yeah, you're right.
That's accurate.
That's right. Paintball is probably like Arkansas or something. Creamy honey roast. Oh. Right. Jamie agreed. Buy creamy honey roast and add mixed nuts to it.
Oh.
Also, Clint equals paintball target. Second one of those today. My IQ dropped 300 points. I'll be in the negative now. So, there we go. Thanks for those thoughts on the AIDS Flowing Center chat line. Jamie, there's a baseball game today.
There is.
It's kind of crazy how you can go through some ebbs and flows or, you know, valleys and hills and whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use, of a baseball season. But we're sitting here last Monday, I guess Tuesday. Sitting here last Tuesday, 1 week ago. Kind of talking, okay, what do you have to do to get into hosting conversation? Right? Whether that was fair that those conversations were going on or not, you had just swept through West Virginia and had New Mexico on the docket for the Tuesday afternoon game. So it's like, okay, if things go really well, if you win all three series, maybe you can be into that territory of hosting. 1 week later, I think there's legitimate question whether you are a postseason team or what you've got to do to be a postseason team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go from, all right, if you do this and this, to you could be a host team. It'd be a lot to climb into, but you could... The possibility is still there to getting, you know, mollywopped by New Mexico on Tuesday and then getting swept by Kansas through the weekend. Now your RPI is in the 40s, and are you worried right now about postseason opportunity, or where are you sitting as far as that goes?
Yeah, I definitely would say that I'm worried. I think that is you're in a situation now where I think I lean towards thinking that you're in, but I definitely think it's questionable. And I think that you'd be a bubble team, and I'd be real uncomfortable heading into Selection Monday and
All
that good stuff. And so there's that. There's that part of it. And then there's just the old crudgety, you know, baseball purist in me that says this weekend was pretty disgusting in the realm of you just didn't play good baseball at all. And
how many times have we said that?
you just beat yourself over and over again.
Yep.
Every aspect of the game, a very mediocre University of Kansas team outplayed you. Okay? I mean, Kansas is unlikely to be a postseason team.
Take a lot for them to get in. At this
and
point,
they yeah. pitched better than you. They hit better than you. They fielded better than you. They took advantage of free passes better than you. They avoided free passes better than you. I mean, I don't know what else to say is beyond that. It just didn't look like you showed up after about the sixth inning on Friday night. And yeah. so I think the reason that everybody went from, you know, hey, maybe if things went well, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I didn't think that you were going to be a host team no matter what. But after West Virginia, you felt like, hey, that was a good team you beat there, which you did for three straight years.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no question. Or three straight weeks, or three straight games. Gosh.
We're there. We'll
yeah,
we
three straight games. That was a good West Virginia team you beat. They've shown that all season long. And you thought, okay, maybe this team is turning the corner. Maybe they're going to start playing like we all think they're capable of playing. And then.
And then.
All of a sudden, it was like, nope. Same team that can't do anything offensively on the road. Same team that can't play clean baseball on the road. And so instead of, I think there was hope that, okay, maybe this is the start of you clicking at the right time. I think everybody went back to the, nope, this is just who this team is. Really, really inconsistent. And in my opinion, it appears to me there's just not a lot of on-field leadership.
So what now? Like, why can this team not win away from home? Or why do they look like a completely different team away from home? That's the problem.
I think there's a little bit of mental toughness part of it. I mean, you go back to looking at the game on all weekend long. How many hard hit balls do you feel like you didn't hit a home run, right? I mean,
not the whole weekend. No,
you just don't win when you're not able to hit long balls.
Yeah.
You just don't. You don't put enough quality at-bats together to put together, you know, many two- and three- and four-run innings without hitting the ball at the ballpark. You don't take free passes as much as Red Raider teams of the past do. You don't battle at the plate like others have. And it just looks like once you get behind, there's a bit of a give-up factor.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think anything has changed with this coaching staff. I don't think these coaches have stopped being able to evaluate, stopped being able to develop, stopped being able to recruit talent and all that. I've all the confidence in the world that they can do that. But I think there's just a lack of the toughness of, okay, guys, we're down, but we're not out kind of deal. I don't know if this team has that. People have told me stories about the team to them not getting along, or they feel like there's you know, the team doesn't everybody doesn't like each other. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I think that's normal on every team. There's a little bit of that. Second thing is, from being around the team a lot like I am on the road, I never get any sense of that.
No vibes, huh?
No, none whatsoever. I never get it. So I don't necessarily believe that to be true, so I don't think that's – I almost feel like that would be a cop-out. I just feel like the team has not performed to what they're capable of. And that – I mean, that's from the first man on the roster to the last man in the coaching staff. That's all product of that team as a whole, right? Nobody's without blame.
Yeah.
Okay? But this team just doesn't look like it's ever gelled. It just doesn't look like – I don't know if it's individuals playing for themselves and not for the ultimate goal of winning as a team. I'm not real sure, but I guess it just goes back to choice of I mean, if some of those balls fly out of the ballpark and you hit some home runs, are you, you know, is it a team that suddenly, hey, we feel a lot better, we're leading, we got a bigger lead, and we keep putting quality at-bats together, and we keep playing good baseball? But unfortunately, it looks like even though you had a lead in all three games, once that lead went away, I mean, your fight went away. Tell me you saw anything different than that.
No, and that's – I think that's what separates this team from teams of the past. There are times where you had teams, your best teams, that would get down and never felt like you were fully out.
Man, no doubt. This team, it was fun to watch a team come back like that.
Yeah, does not have that killer instinct, it seems. Got Jamie's question next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jamie Lint, yours here in the First United Bank studio. I got some fresh post-spring college football win totals. We're going to get to that in 30 minutes to see if we feel the same way as we did. I have our predictions from January.
Okay.
So we know a few more things about these teams than we did in January. Like Arizona, a little different than they were at that time. Have a different coach, that sort of thing. There's obviously transfer portal additions and subtractions that have happened since then, post-spring. Texas Tech might have a little quarterback issue, maybe. So we'll take a look at those and see if we still agree with – and what numbers have fluctuated as well. Coming up in about 30 minutes. Right now, Jamie might have a question.
Very simple question for you gentlemen today.
For two very simple guys.
It involves Red Raider football. And the question is, in what area would you like to see the Red Raider football team improve the most compared to last season?
In what area would we like to see?
This can be a stat. This can be
football.
Their style. What would you like to improve upon the most?
I would love to see a big boost in passing yardage. You haven't had just a ton of passing yardage in quite a few seasons. I mean, it's a selfish thing, and I know it's not always conducive to winning. There's not a direct correlation to, hey, you pass for so many yards, you're going to win. But there is a direct correlation to fun, like a fun product to watch, right? I mean, you didn't know. I mean, there was a mindset when we would go into Jones Stadium between 2000 and 2009 that you were going to win any game. That didn't matter who was coming to town. There was that mindset. But it didn't always come true. There was a mindset that did come true every Saturday at Jones Stadium from 2000 to 2009 that, hey, you're going to throw for a ton of yards. You're going to sling it all over the field. You might give up a bunch of points, but you're going to score a lot of points. Almost always. That would happen. So, yeah, I think that's where I would go. I want to see... Because this team has improved as a whole, and you have a really good running back back there that can help you set up the pass, or you can help set up his run with a good passing game. I'm not saying an unbalanced offense. I just want to see big playability out of the passing game.
Okay.
Choice eventually got around to the first thing that I thought of, and that's big play capability, so I'll go a different one.
Well, I didn't. Oh, that wasn't my main one. So
well, I mean, explosive plays just in general were very much lacking last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think obviously with better passing yards and yard numbers, that those two go hand in hand. Also like to see, you know, maybe a few more explosive plays out of the run game too. But that's not a knock on Taj, because obviously he was fantastic. But just in the offense in general, the big play capability, the boy, we can score from 50 yards out. We don't have to chip away every single drive. And if you're scoring, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem was the offense wasn't perfect and you weren't doing that consistently. And so that's the first one. I would like to see the pass rush be a little more consistent next year. That's my other. Those are the first two that came to mind. And I'm hoping some of the young guys that we've talked about on the defensive line and the outside linebacker spot take that next step, or, you know, fill that role. So you could pick either of those for me.
Okay, so Clint touched on my first thing. The kind of, mine kind of go together.
Okay.
All right, 27 sacks last year. I'd really like to see that number go up. I'm actually surprised that the number is that high. It didn't feel like we had 27 sacks.
How many were in the bowl game and how many?
Yeah. Well, you look at the Baylor game. I think you had 6 or 7 in that game alone, and then the bowl game. And you could take probably half of your sacks for the whole season in those two games. And you had very little consistency beyond that.
Yeah. All right. So the number to me, or the thing that I want to see change the most, is third down conversion rate on defense. Okay. It just felt to me over and over again all season long, you could not get off the field on third down. And I think part of that is because you didn't have a good pass rush, because quarterbacks were having time to sit back there in the pocket and find open receivers and move the chains.
Yeah.
When I looked it up to see what it actually was, third down conversion rate for your opponents last year against the Red Raiders, 41%. Okay. Red Raiders were at 39%, so not much different.
Mm-hmm.
But 41% just seems too high to me. And it just felt like defensively you were decent, okay, on defense, but you just didn't get off the field enough. There weren't a whole lot of three and outs. There weren't, you know, nearly enough punts. And so I feel like getting off the field was something that, again, you were solid, but you just couldn't make that play on third down. You couldn't get a defensive end or a defensive tackle to bust through the line and force a bad pass or get a sack and get the ball back for your offense. It just didn't feel like you did a great job of that.
You know, I think your wish might come true, Jamie, this year. Might. I'm not saying it will. But when I start to look at your pass rushers this year, there's a lot of candidates. And that's something Level and I talked about on the Ask Level podcast. Someone asked who the best pass rusher will be this year. There's a lot of candidates for that. I'm not sure you're not a deeper unit as a whole this year. And part of that is just aging some of the young guys that came in as high recruits, but we hadn't seen much until the end of the season. Dylan Spencer, Isaac Smith, who was hurt all last year, he's supposed to be really good, and I'm not sure he's not your best guy. Amir Washington, got to see nice flashes out of him in the bowl game. Joseph Adetare, another one. And something we know about pass rush, if you've got one really dominant guy, it helps the other guys out the other side.
Sure does.
So I think going into the season, I'm fairly confident you'll have a decent pass rush. A decent pass rush. Better than you were last year. Health matters, you know. Taking a next step for some of those guys matter. Consistency. Charles Esters, another one. Didn't think of his name. Yeah, I think there's a possibility that you could have pretty good year on that front. And I hope there's a possibility. Going back to back up my passing game. One, do you know how long it's been since you've had a? Remember when it was a prerequisite at Texas Tech to have a 5,000-yard passing season if you're a quarterback? Not the team, but it just used to be it. Hey, you're the quarterback at Tech. You throw for 5,000 yards. It's what you do. Do you know how long it's been since you've touched 4,000 yards passing as a team?
Wow. How long?
I don't know. I keep going back on the list, and I'm at 2018 and haven't. I keep going year by year. I'm at 2018, and you're not there yet.
Go back to when you had a good offensive line. Go back to when you had a healthy quarterback.
Okay, there it is. 2018. 4,231 yards. Who was your quarterback in 18? Don't remember. Is it Jet Duffy? No joke. Bet. Oh, sorry. Wrong usage. 17 was Szymanek, so whoever was after Szymanek, it all runs together. Oh, yes. Alan Bowman, I think. Pretty sure
maybe so.
Bowman would have been your quarterback the majority of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh.
Well, he had like a 4,000-yard game against Houston, right?
That one game? Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of points in that game. Y'all keep your commentary coming in. Tell us what you want to see improved the most from last year to this year for Texas Tech football. It is the bottom line. Got a dad joke coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.